In today's sermon, I'd like to share with you some teachings from the 64th surah of the Quran, Surah At-Taghabun. And before I share the ayat that I'd like to reflect on and share some things with you about, I want to put a little bit of background in place. This is a Madani surah. Most of you are familiar, there are two different kinds of surahs in the Quran, Makki and Madani surahs, early surahs and later revelations. Later revelations, for the most part, are the ones that came to the Prophet ﷺ, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, after he migrated to the city of Medina. And most Muslims that are familiar with the Quran know that in Madani Quran, in later Quran, is when Allah revealed most of his instructions for the community, the things that are permissible, things that are not permissible. For the, you know, when we think of Madani Quran, we think of the rules and regulations of Islam. When we think of the early revelations, the Meccan Quran, we think of the fundamentals of our faith. Two-thirds of the Quran is Meccan, early. An early Quran deals with matters of faith, matters of belief. But this surah is unique. Even though it is Madani in nature, it's a later surah, it still deals with matters of faith. And it begs the question, why? It's a very particular purpose for the revelation of this surah. And this is important to understand when we study the Qur'an or try to get any benefit from the Qur'an. What context and in what background is Allah Azza wa Jal giving this speech? Because every surah is a speech of Allah. And a speech is given at a particular address. Especially when it comes from a particular authority, right? An authority like, for example, in politics, you have a president, a senator, a governor. He's going to give a press release. He's going to give it at a particular occasion. And his speech is going to have to do with issues that are happening at that very moment. So it's going to be very relevant for us to know, when was the speech given, who was the speech given to, what occasion was the speech given at, what made him say what he said. The same thing happens in the Quran. Allah Himself is speaking. So it's really important to know, when is it that Allah said this? At least have some idea of who is it originally that Allah Azza wa Jal was talking to. So I want to lay a little bit of that in a couple of minutes before we go into the ayat. And then I want to share with you, why is it that in this khutbah I chose to talk to you about this particular surah. You know, in Medina, when the Prophet migrated, becoming a Muslim became a lot easier. Being a Muslim in Mecca was a difficult thing. Because you were on the outskirts, you were the obscure, strange, new religion. Anybody who believes in this man to be a prophet is basically outcast immediately. They're looked upon as weird. Everybody around them is kind of even ostracizing them, cutting them off from their own circles. The biggest thing, you know, what we think of as nationality or citizenship nowadays, that was tribal association back in the day. So they were even willing to basically disavow your citizenship, cut you off from the tribe, if you became a Muslim. And early on it was just words and media propaganda, if you will. But later on it even became physical. It became extremely difficult for someone to come into Islam. But once the Prophet migrated to Medina and he came to a welcoming city, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where people were already waiting for him to arrive. Before he even got there, there's celebrations happening that the Prophet is coming. Sallallahu, the atmosphere is totally different. He didn't have to come and find it difficult to get an audience that wants to listen to him. This is what would happen to him in Mecca. Every time we would speak, people just walk away or start making noise. You know, وَأَلْغَوْ فِيهِ. Just make noise every time he talks. Don't listen to him. لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Don't listen to this Qur'an. Don't listen to it. Just make noise every time he speaks. Ignore him, avoid him, insult him. That's not the case in Medina. In Medina, he gets a warm welcome. He's honored from the very first day. People are even, you know, singing and praising before he even arrives into the city. It's amazing. But you know what? What also happened at that time? It became easier to become a Muslim. It became easier to become a Muslim. It's not like when you became Muslim, your house is in danger now, your family's in danger, you might lose everything you've earned all this time, you might lose all of your tribal associations, you might get yourself into serious trouble, people might stop doing business with you just because you've become a Muslim. You didn't have those dangers in Medina, you had those dangers in Mecca. So the reason I put this before you is because the people of Mecca, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, may Allah be pleased with them, they sacrificed a lot to become Muslims. And when you sacrifice a lot for something, you have a lot of value for it. You have a real appreciation for it. So this thing that we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very easy for us to say. It was very difficult for them to say. So when they said it, they paid for it sometimes with blood, with tears. And so they had a value for it. But now the Muslims in Medina, though a lot of them, a good number of them are extremely sincere, a good number of Muslims also started coming into Islam not realizing that this is some serious business. It requires a lot of sacrifice. They became Muslim kind of in a convenient way. Not through difficulty, but more conveniently. And therefore their iman, their faith hadn't really been put to the test. The reason I chose this surah is because in this surah Allah basically says to this Muslim community that is a mix of people that have made a lot of sacrifices and a bunch of people that just came into the religion. Some of them understand it very well, some of them really not that well, some of them don't even have very good intentions for being Muslim, they just see Muslims as the new rising power, so might as well join the winning team. Some of them haven't come in for good intentions. Incidentally, the surah I'm sharing with you, right before it is the surah called Suratul Munafiqun, the surah dedicated to the subject of hypocrisy. People who came into Islam with the wrong reasons. Or their faith got corrupted over time. Now in this surah, Allah talks to the entire Muslim community, the strong believer, the weak believer, the mature believer, the fresh, the freshman, you know, the rookie into Islam. And then the one who's experienced, and even the corrupt one, he's talking to all of them together and saying, look, we need to have a refresher on who Allah is. You need to go back to Faith 101 and take a refresher course on your iman. This is what this surah does. It talks to a Muslim community, I'll put it in easier terms for all of us, it talks to a Muslim community whose faith may be getting rusty. Their iman may be getting rusty, time to clean it up and time to start from scratch again. So though most of these teachings, you don't find them in Makki Qur'an, you don't find them in Madani Qur'an, you find them in Makki Qur'an, Allah dedicates this as a direct, immediate and very relevant subject for the Muslim community. Why did I bring this up as a matter of khutbah? Generally I thought I'm going to give a khutbah about the subject of iman, about faith. And I'm going to pick a passage from the Qur'an that deals with the subject of faith. But then I said, well, who am I talking to? I'm talking to a bunch of Muslims, including myself. I'm also talking to myself. And for most of us Muslims, have we made a lot of sacrifices to come into Islam? No, we haven't. Actually, for many of you that come from different parts of the world, your grandparents and your grandparents' grandparents almost paid with their blood, and sometimes they did, to hold on to La ilaha illallah. But we didn't pay that price. Our children didn't pay that price. And you know what? When you don't pay a price for something, sometimes you don't have a value for it. Maybe you never even give it a careful look because it's always been sitting there. You know, when you give somebody a gift, they look at it. You give a child a toy, they look at it every single way. My daughter just got a gift from her grandmother on a road trip here. She's been playing with it the entire 4 hours, looking at it, changing it, this way, because it's a new gift. But if you look at her old gifts or old toys, or the toys that's always been sitting in the house, they don't get a good look, do they? They don't get much attention. So there's something about being refreshed, having a new look, and that's what this surah does. So let's go at least take a few of these refreshers that Allah is giving us in this surah. He begins, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ. Very beautiful. This surah belongs to a group of surahs in the Qur'an, all of which have the same beginning, the same theme in the beginning. Allah compares the rest of the universe, the rest of everything He created, on the one hand, and human beings on the other. Everything is on one hand and the human beings are on the other. There's a comparison between these two. Of course, both of them, the creator is Allah. But he starts with everything else. The rest of everything I created. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the skies and the earth continues to declare God's perfection. Continues to declare the perfection of Allah. Everything in the skies and the earth continually, by means of its very existence, is a praise of Allah Himself. And everything is fulfilling that purpose without taking a break. Now before we even go further, who's going to be mentioned next? Human beings, right? Are human beings fulfilling their purpose the same way? That they're continuously, by their very existence, continually praising God's existence? Declaring His glory? Praising Allah Azza wa Jalla? Are they doing that? There's already a comparison. And you're supposed to be the greatest of all creation, according to Allah Himself. You know, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. In the best possible way. So he says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now look at the attributes of Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. He alone owns all kingdom. Let's stop right there and understand something. After he mentions everything is constantly praising him and declaring his perfection, then he lets us know the only true king is he. The only true governance is His. The only true sovereignty is His. You know, when we think of government, king, authority, whenever you think of these things, the very next thing that comes in the mind of a listener is criticism. We criticize governments. People criticize their kings. People criticize the authority. If there's one party to blame for all of your problems, it must be the party that won the election the last time. That's how it works. The party to blame is the party that's in power. Allah Azza wa Jal declares Himself the owner of all power. But what is in human experience, whenever we think of power and authority, the very next thing is, oh, they're not doing their job right, the authority is not doing what it's supposed to do. What does He say right after that? He says, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. He alone deserves all praise and all gratitude. This is the one authority, the only thing you can say about Him is praise and gratitude. You're not going to find this in any other authority. Whenever you find an authority, you'll find something to criticize about. A lot of you have minimal authority. For example, you have a boss. Your boss has an authority over you. Some of you have to run out of here. Almost when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, there's going to be a dash. You'll notice some people, before they even finish their salam, they're going to be in the sprint to the door. You know, last one in, first one out. And you know, they even though they take a 2.5 hour break from their boss, they spend 30 of that here, and the rest of it is I don't know what, but it's the religious break because it's my Friday, right? So a lot of people do that, that's fine. And they still complain about their boss, right? Ah, my boss is too tough. My teacher, he gives too much homework. You know, the government, the cops, the this, the that. It's always when you think of authority, you think of blaming. And here Allah says, He owns all the authority, and He alone owns all praise and all gratitude. This is who Allah is. Let me tell you, when iman, when faith gets rusty, people start complaining about Allah. People start saying, how come Allah does this? How come Allah does that? How come this is happening? How come that's happening? How come Allah doesn't change our state? They start asking questions about Allah, forgetting that Allah deserves all praise, not criticism. He already owns all praise. This is a basic lesson. But sometimes Muslims forget that lesson. So they need to be reminded too. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. And then after mentioning وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, He says وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He's in complete control over all things. Obviously we already know He's in complete control over all things. He said that many times in the Quran even before this. But this is a new lesson. Because now Allah is saying, look, I will do what I will. And whatever I do is worthy of praise and gratitude. And by the way, I have the power to do whatever I want. So Allah does whatever He wants, and we're still not going to criticize. We're still only going to have praise and gratitude for Him. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Don't you think He has to submit to your standards of what you think is a good idea, of what you think is a bad idea? He is master and you are slave. Know your place. He will make His decisions, whether you get them or not, whether you understand them or not. And whatever decisions He makes are the best decisions. They still deserve praise. This is who Allah is. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. He's the one who created all of you. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. He created all of you. Out of you there are some who disbelieve. The word kafir in Arabic also means ungrateful. Kafir in Arabic doesn't just mean a disbeliever, it also means someone who is ungrateful. So it's the opposite of iman. Iman and kufr, also shukran. Gratitude and kufr are also opposites in the Arabic language. So it is as though Allah is saying, He's the one who created you, and there are among you those that are grateful. Grateful for what? For having been created. And on top of that, haven't been shown the straight way. And then there are those of you that are just disbelievers. They don't believe in what was revealed. And on top of that, they're not even grateful for being created. I've met young people, even Muslims sometimes, and people of other faiths, they say, I didn't ask to be created by God. Why did He create me? I didn't want to be created. I don't owe Him any thanks. So Allah says it flat out, yeah, you'll find idiots like that too. Allah just says it. He says, فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرْ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ. He created you, you'll find disbelievers, and you'll find a lot of them. And Allah at the same time says, you'll find a lot of ungrateful people. That won't even appreciate the fact that He created them. And those that will find their faith, وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ. Every time I meet a person like that, I say, man, Allah spoke the truth. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرْ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ. And then He adds something really beautiful. Whether you realize it or not, whether you believe in God or not, whether you're grateful or not, one thing's true, the camera is always on. The surveillance is always going on. The record is constantly being written. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is in full view of what you're up to. You know, Ru'ya and basira are two different things in Arabic. Ru'ya, you see something. You saw something. Basira in Arabic is you got a full view of something. You know what's going on in the front, in the back, every side. You got a full view. So everybody can see a building, but maybe somebody can see, oh, I know what kind of foundation they poured. I know what's inside, what kind of construction materials are being used. I know how deep this building goes, how far in it goes. That's basira, full view. Allah doesn't just see one angle of what we do. He sees it from all angles. Why did you do what you did? When did you do it? Why? You know, why? Who did you do it to? What were your intentions? What was the quality of your work? The inside and the outside of everything we do. We can't present to Allah half-baked excuses. I'm reminded of that in my role as a teacher. One of my jobs is to be a teacher. And it's a lot easier now because I'm teaching adults, but when I used to teach children, it was a lot tougher. Children, you know, kids talking in the back, I say, hey, why are you talking? No, I was just discussing the homework. I wasn't talking, I was just asking a question about the homework. I have no way of knowing. I don't have full view of what just happened. I just got, okay, fine. Or I believe him, I don't believe. I don't have the full picture. I don't have the full event. Allah does. So when someone has the full view, you're not able to make excuses in front of him. The word basir, the benefit of the word in the ayah is, we're now no longer left with excuses. I'm grateful or not, your entire deeds and your entire motives are on record. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda bil-haq. And he mentions this for those who are not clear in their faith. If you really know who Allah is so far, how he's introduced himself, he says he created the skies and the earth with a purpose. Bil-haq. What did he say? What did he create in the previous ayah? He created all of you. When he said he created all of you, he said some of you believe, some of you don't believe. In the next ayah, he said he created everything else, and everything else he created has a purpose. What do you think? He created you without a purpose? Did you forget that you have a purpose too? How can you not understand that your life is headed towards a questioning, a reckoning? You need to understand that you and I have a reason for which we are alive. There's a reason for which Allah has given us these few thousand days to live on this earth. These few years that we're going to be on this earth. There's a reason for which Allah put us here. You need to understand your purpose. Everything Allah does is with purpose. So you too. In another place in the Quran, he says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا? Did you assume we created you with no point? Just out of play, I was just bored and I created human beings. No, I made you with a real reason. And by the way, you'll find the most ungrateful people say, yeah, God's just playing games, he just made us, whatever. You know, that's how they'll talk. They'll fulfill Allah's word to the T. This is what they will say and they'll say it. Allah even tells us what's going to come out of their mouth. Back in the Arabian desert and today sitting in a philosophy class in the university. What comes out of their mouth, Allah already knew. What will come out of it is nothing new. And you listen to it, and if you really know your book, then you will know, man, Allah does speak the truth. This guy, by spewing his poison, is fulfilling the word of Allah. Subhanallah. So, فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. What a beautiful transition. He molded you. Allah says he created the rest of the skies. He could have added, he created you too. But he's already said that before. He changed it. He said, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ. He molded you. صَوَّرَ in Arabic is to fashion something, to mold something, to sculpt something, make a sculpture that's perfect and beautiful. He says, Allah himself says, I did a really good job making you. He himself is telling us. He takes pride in how beautifully he made us. You know what the ungrateful says? Why am I so fat? Why am I so skinny? Why am I so short? Why do I have freckles? Why do I have this? Why do I have that? How come I'm not smart like my brother? How come that one's rich and I'm poor? How come I don't have this and how come I don't have that? And you know what happens in this society, especially in modern society? And it's happening globally, not just in America. People start getting old, the hair starts going, start turning gray a little bit, right? Then you notice, you know, wrinkles on your skin. And this entire multi-million dollar industry to make sure that you look like you did when you were 20 and you end up looking like a zombie, right? But they'll put hair implants on you and they'll stretch your skin for you and they'll tuck your belly in for you and they'll do all these things to you so maybe you can pretend you're still 25. Allah is saying, accept who you are. I think you're beautiful. Why do you think you're ugly? Why do you have to be so unhappy with yourself? هُوَ الَّذِي صَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ He did a beautiful job with you. And molding is not just in the physical sense, even in our personalities, our capabilities. Allah has given each and every one of us certain strengths, certain abilities, certain talents. He is the one who gave them to us. So when we don't appreciate what we've been given, then we're not appreciating Allah Himself, because He's the one who gave. Just like when somebody gives you a gift and you don't appreciate it, it's a disrespect to the one who gave you the gift. All of what we have been given is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَّرَكُمْ And if you don't recognize that, وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ you'll all be going back to Him anyway. Whether you take advantage of these gifts or not, they will have to be returned to the original owner. To Him is the final return eventually anyway. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ He knows whatever goes on in the skies and the earth. You see the constant comparison between the universe and ourselves in the surah? Look at the sky. Look at how much is happening in the sky. Look at how much is happening in the universe. He knows every millisecond and every millimeter of what's happening in the sky and every atom and inside of every atom, every subatomic particle. He knows it directly. He knows it Himself. He doesn't know what you're up to. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ He knows the things you keep secret. And He knows the things that you expose. There's a very powerful expression in the Qur'an. It demands a little bit of attention in the few minutes I have left. Allah knows the things we keep secret. Allah knows the things we make public. What Allah is telling us is sometimes people really have a deep problem in their faith, but they cover it up with some other words. So what they're saying on their mouths is not exactly what they have in their heart. So Allah says, I know what you keep inside, and I know what you're saying with your mouth. And I know the contradiction between the two too. There will be a person, I'll give you an example, I'll call it out, just as by means of a short example. There's a young student. He's got some friends that are non-Muslim. And they're trying drugs. And they offer him some. First time he says it's haram. Second time he says it's haram. Third time shaitan comes to him and says, hey, come on, it's not that haram. Go ask the imam. Ask the imam, you know, imam, I have a friend who says that drugs aren't haram. He won't say, I'm having that thought, or my shaitan just gave me a waswas. I have a friend who thinks drugs are okay because they're not mentioned in the Quran. Pharmaceutical products by their name have not been mentioned in the Quran, therefore, is it okay? Is it okay to try some of these pharmaceutical products? And the imam says, no, it's not okay. Then he'll go around and say, you know what? Our imams, they're so backwards. They don't understand modern society and modern chemistry. And therefore they have these outdated fatawa. And he'll give a whole rant about that. But what's really going on in the inside? I really want to try that drug. What's so wrong with dating anyway? What's so wrong with having a little fun? What's so wrong with this or that? You'll say it in nice ways on the outside, but the real whispers of shaitan that you have submitted to on the inside, Allah knows. You can cover them up on the outside with when you talk to me or somebody else. You can even cover them up for yourself, but Allah knows what you that you're even lying to yourself. You can't even be honest to yourself. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ Allah is completely and fully knowledgeable of what's going on in the chests. What's going on inside here? What feelings you have, what thoughts you have, what temptations you have, what evil thoughts you have that you never tell anybody. He knows those too. Wallahu alimun bi dhati sudur. Alam ya'tikum naba'ul ladhina kafaru min qabl? What is wrong with you people? Haven't you seen the news, the events of those who came much before you and how the fadaqu wa bala amrihim that those who came much before you and tasted the consequences of their behavior? Those news haven't come to you? Allah asked that question in Madani Qur'an. I told you how much of Qur'an has already been revealed? 2/3. Meccan Qur'an has already been revealed. Meccan Qur'an is full of stories of previous prophets who came and warned their people and the people made fun of them and then they died and they were destroyed. And then on top of that they're eternally punished in hellfire. And the Muslims are being asked now, you think those stories are just for non-Muslims to read? Haven't those news come to you? أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَبَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ Haven't you heard the news of those who disbelieved before? The irony here is Allah is talking to Muslims. But then the Quran talks to Muslims, and he's saying, aren't you afraid of those who disbelieved in the past? Don't you think you'll end up in that place? Why would Allah talk to us as though we're non-Muslims almost? Why is He talking to us like that? Because Allah is warning us of a very serious problem: faith on the tongue and disbelief in the heart. And He just in the previous ayah said, I know what's going on deep inside your chests. So He's interrogating that and saying, look, they disbelieve with their mouth, but I can see disbelief on the tongue, and I can also sense disbelief. I also know disbelief when it's in the heart and it never makes it to your mouth. I even know that one. Take warning of those nations. They tasted the consequence of their decision. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And the last ayah I want to share with you, because time is up. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Listen to this, it's such like powerful advice from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is, by the way, I consider this surah the surah of the fruits, the benefits of faith. First, the first half of this surah is a summary of our faith, the practical summary of our faith. And the next half of this surah is, what are the advantages of being a believer? What good comes in your life because you're a believer? I didn't get to share that with you this time, but at least I want to tie up the first part. Allah describes, summarizes basically one of the most common reasons people refuse to accept guidance from Allah. One of the most common, not the only reason, but one of the most common reasons. What is it? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. That is because messengers came to them, and they continuously came to them, they used to come to them with the clearest arguments, the clearest proofs. فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا. And they would say in response, flesh and bone, this human being, this guy looks like us, he's gonna guide us? You want me to listen to him? Have you looked at him? Have you looked at his house? Do you look who he hangs out with, all these poor people that have become Muslim with him? Do you know who you're talking to? You want me to become a believer because of this guy? This is how they would talk about prophets. Fir'aun would say about Musa alayhi salam, look at him, he can't even talk clearly. He stutters. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ. He can't even open his mouth. Ha, look at him. You want me to listen to him? People would come to Nuh alayhi salam. He would walk by them and they would استغشوا ثيابهم. They would pull their clothes in, like, don't touch me, old man, you're dirty. That's how they would talk to Nuh alayhi salam. People, you know, Shu'aib alayhi salam, other messengers would come, give a message, and they would say, listen, I want to listen to you, but I'm a millionaire. I have a certain appearance to keep up. And you keep all these homeless people, these poor people, these believers around you, why don't you get away from them? And then we can have a meeting in the executive office. Because I don't want to see this riffraff near me. I don't want to be seen with this low class, you know, this scum of society. I don't want to be seen with them. Get rid of them and maybe I'll listen to you. The criticism was always the same. Another human being's going to guide me? He's just like us. What do they say about Jesus, about Isa alayhi salam? Yamshi wil aswaq fil aswaq. What is this messenger? And they said about the messenger too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, look at this messenger. You think he's a messenger? He goes shopping. He walks around like everybody else does. He eats food too. I saw him having lunch the other day. How can he be a messenger? That was the argument. In other words, and this is what I'm tying it up with, one of the most common reasons people refuse to accept guidance, Because they don't see that they're submitting to God, they say, why is there a messenger in between? He's just like me. I can have a relationship with God myself. I don't need a messenger in between. And Allah says that is the very source of arrogance. Iblis was not asked to make sajda to Allah. He was asked to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, because it was a test of arrogance. He didn't directly show arrogance to Allah. He actually showed arrogance to Adam alayhi salam. He said, he's made of clay. I'm made of fire. I'm better than him. Allah, nobody's going to say I'm better than Allah. But Allah wants to see, are you going to say I'm better than X, Y, and Z? I'm better than these messengers. I don't have to follow them. They're just human beings. They make mistakes. They do this, they do that. That is the very essence of arrogance from the very beginning of creation. From the very beginning. Even Iblis said, Abashar? A human being? Are you kidding me? Have you looked at my resume? I'm going to follow him? It's not going to happen. That is the same exact pride that comes, the mutant of that pride is still among us today. Somebody tries to give me advice. First thing that goes in my head, who are you to give me advice? Who do you think you are? Somebody gives, I'm the khatib today. I'll lead the salat. After salat, somebody says, brother, I didn't like what you said. I'll say to him, do you know who you're talking to? I'm on YouTube, you know. You know? You know who you're dealing with here? That is the very definition of arrogance. That is the very definition of negating guidance. Allah says nations of the past were destroyed because they couldn't take guidance from another human being. If the messenger is not with us today, his words, his instructions, his teachers, the people who, his students who teach on his behalf are here today. The scholars are here today, the da'is are here today. You know, the people of reminder are here today. It could be your father giving you advice. It could be your brother, your cousin giving you advice. But you look at him and say, Dad, you're always saying the same thing. Leave me alone. You don't understand. You tell your son, who are you? You're going to tell me? I used to change your diaper. You don't talk to me. Get out of here. And you can't take advice from your son. This is the same exact thing that keeps people from accepting guidance. Refusal to take advice from others. Because pride gets in the way. May Allah Azza wa Jal remove the pride from our hearts. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people that really truly believe for the sake of Allah and can put their ego aside, especially when advice is given. May Allah Azza wa Jal revive in us the iman that Allah intends to revive by means of His majestic Quran. All of you inshallah ta'ala, as a short homework assignment, when you go home today with your family, recite Surah Al-Taghabun, Surah number 64. Recite it, read a little bit, even if in translation, read it with your family. Remind them of some of the things you heard about today. And refresh that in your hearts, inshallah ta'ala. It's just a page and a half, so even memorizing it in a week is not difficult for any of you. Do that and slowly you get closer and closer to the Qur'an.